Hello, my name is Eli Tuckman, and thank you for joining me in our study of Mishnayos, Maseches Shabbos. The Torah tells us in the Aseres Dibros, Lo sa'aseh kol melacha, you shall not do any work on Shabbos. Ata uvincha vitecha, you and your sons and your daughters. Avdecha, right, va'amascha, your male and female slaves. Uvehemtecha, so we are, and your animals. So your animals must rest on Shabbos, and we are obligated to ensure that our animals don't do any melacha on Shabbos. So we know that people aren't allowed to carry, right? You can't carry from Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaRabim and vice versa, or carry four amos in Rishus HaRabim, so we can't carry on Shabbos. But we are, of course, allowed to wear clothes, right? So the same thing would be true for our animals. But the question is let's, so much, much less obvious for animals, although we'll get to people as well, it's much less obvious for animals what is considered clothes and what is considered carrying. So in general, the general rule is that anything that is for the safety and protection of the animal or for warmth is considered clothes. Anything that is not would be considered carrying. So the degree to which an animal requires protection and safety is going to determine what it is allowed and not allowed to wear on Shabbos, leaving Rishus HaYachid. So our Mishnah begins, Perikei Mishnah Aleph, Bameh Behema Yotza Ubameh Eino Yotza. With what can an animal go out from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Hila to Rishus Rabim, and what can he not? So we start with a camel. Yotzea Gamal Be'afsar. A camel can go out in an afsar. An afsar is a basic halter made out of leather, and it's used to kind of hold the animal, and he would tie it up that way to keep it from running away. And since this is the thing that is used to keep camels safe, and to keep them from running away, therefore, it is considered clothes, and the camel is allowed to wear it. V'na'aka, a female camel, b'chatam. Apparently, female camels are more excitable and are more likely to run away, and therefore, they need greater protection. And so they wouldn't just have a basic leather halter. They would put actually a ring, a thick ring, through the nose of the camel and attach the strap to that. So the camel really couldn't get away without like tearing its nose open, which of course it's not going to do. And therefore, that keeps it safe. And we are going, as you could see here, in increasing degrees of control. So we go from the afsar to the na'aka. And then from there, we move to the luvdikim. Luvdikim are Libyan donkeys. And Libyan donkeys are extremely stubborn and excitable and wild and hard to tame. And they don't like to do what they're told to do. And therefore, they require an even more significant restraint. Vilovdikim biprumbia. With a Libyan donkey, you're allowed to use a metal bridle, right? It's much stronger than the stuff that we're using on the camels. And that is what you can use, and that is considered clothing. Now, what's interesting is that we need the proper amount of protection, which is to say, not too much protection and not too little. Anything that is too little protection is not considered protection and would be carrying, but also anything that is too much protection is overkill and is also considered carrying. Moving on to other animals. The sus, a horse, besher. A horse can wear a collar with a leash attached to it. All these things have leashes attached to them. The chobale hasher yotzim besher. And all animals that wear collars are allowed to wear their collars and they can be drawn, meaning led, by their collar, meaning by the leash attached to the collar. So because the collar is the normal way of keeping this animal under safety and control, and its leash obviously goes along with the collar, therefore they are allowed to wear them. And not only to wear them in Rishus HaRabim, but the owner is permitted to lead them, walk them, as it were, with the collar and the leash attached to the collar, because that is considered their clothes. Interestingly enough, the Mishnah now takes a little bit of a side point and talks about what happens if the collar and the leash become tameh. Now, That's odd, right? Because when we get up to Taros, we will learn that only utensils that are used by people utensils, right, can become tummy. But animal utensils cannot become tummy if they're not used by people, because they're not for people. And what's interesting is that this collar and leash can become tummy even though they are obviously primarily for the animal, their use is for the owner to keep control of the animal and to lead the animal, and therefore it is considered a utensil that is for the benefit of humanity, benefit of humans, and therefore it can become tameh. And if it were to become tameh, our Mishnah says, umazin aleihem v'tovlin b'mekomam, they do not have to be removed in order to be taken to the mikvah. A mikvah is, of course, a large enclosed pool of rainwater, but it also you could also use a lake or a similarly natural body of large water, a lake, a stream, etc. And so our Mishnah is telling us that if your animal's collar becomes tameh, you can actually just walk the animal into the water and make sure that it's loose enough that the water can get under the collar and that all of the collar and the leash get underwater. But that's fine. You don't actually have to take it off the animal. Similarly, if the animal should happen to be in a place where there is a tumas ha'ala, tumas mace, the animal, of course, does not become tameh mace, does not become tameh from the dead, because the animal is a living creature. And living creatures other than humans don't become tameh at all. But the leash would. So the leash would then need to be sprinkled with the ash water of Para Aduma, right? The Para Aduma ashes dropped into water. And so that sprinkling also does not need to be put only on the collar when removed from the animal, but you could actually have the collar and leash attached to the animal at the time that you sprinkle it with the Para Aduma water.